this morning. That will be back up next Sunday. A few of you have been asking about that deficit. We do tend to run a deficit every December, and this congregation is unbelievably generous every December, and I think that we are on track to be just fine, but very thankful for the generosity of this congregation, not only with your money, but when there is a need, it is met here. Praise God for that. It's been a full week here at Cornerstone since last Sunday. We had an outdoor worship service. We had our, a few of you came to that, didn't you? Wonderful service. Our Wednesday night countdown to Christmas, and then we had two Christmas Eve services, and it just creates in me a heart of gratitude. I am just so thankful for our staff, for our volunteers, so many people, and in some ways a small group of people working very hard to make this happen, and just very thankful, church. Well, we come this morning to my final sermon for 2020. The passage is Isaiah 31. We're going to look at just three verses, 1 to 3 there. If you have your Bible, have your phone, you can turn there. It's in the bulletin if you are here in person. Two goals for the sermon this morning. First, I want to wrap up our King is Coming sermon series. We've been taking the month of December, reminding ourselves that Jesus came to be our King. It was wonderful to sing. Ralph, it was wonderful to hear that theme echoed in our prayer this morning, that we serve one who is in control of all things. Going to be trying to press into that sovereignty, the idea of God's sovereignty in the sermon this morning. So wrapping up the King is Coming, and then the second goal, I just want to spend some time reflecting on some spiritual lessons we've learned in 2020. 2020 has been a challenging year, but I think it's been a year of growth as well, a year of learning to trust. And so wrapping up the series, creating space for spiritual lessons, this passage I think addresses both, gives us a pretty good picture of our sovereign Lord, of what it means to have God as our King. And it contains a very important spiritual lesson, something that sums up, I think, a lot of what God has been teaching me this year. And I summarized it in the title, Don't Go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. I'll have to explain that to you in the sermon. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Jesus, I pray that you would make your word the sharp sword that you say that it is for us this morning. Pierce our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that I would be no hindrance, no obstacle to communicating your grace, communicating your gospel to those listening this morning. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 31, we're going to look at just verses 1 to 3. Hear God's word. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And yet he is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the helpers of those who work iniquity. The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together. This is God's word. Our passage this morning, written to a people who were in distress, written to a people who were in crisis. It was an extraordinary time in the history of God's people. God raises up Isaiah writing from the southern kingdom of Israel. We know this as Judah. It's a time of moral decline, a time of political decline. The enemies of God's people were growing stronger. The enemies were getting closer. Times are tough. The future, not only uncertain, but for many probably felt frightening. You can imagine the anxiety, the fear, the worry that filled their hearts. We need answers. We need answers, right? They in the midst of this crisis, they want answers, and God raises up Isaiah to warn them where they shouldn't look for help. What a powerful lesson for us as well, where they shouldn't look for help, and where should they not look for help? He tells us there in verse 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Rather than consulting the Lord, rather than looking to the sovereign one, the one who is in control of all things, they turn and trust in Egypt. There's a lot of reasons that Egypt looked enticing to God's people. Egypt was a mighty nation. This is the land of Pharaoh and pyramids and the mighty Nile River. Egypt, in this point in history, had the best that man could offer. Egypt had a military. Egypt had strength. Egypt had obvious answers, and the people want to go to Egypt. Egypt, by the way, right, as you read the Old Testament, Egypt kind of has always been there. Egypt becomes a perennial temptation for God's people. And it's not that it's always wrong to go to Egypt. I was explaining in one sentence what my sermon was going to be about to my wife last night, and she said, Egypt? Well, that's Jesus went to Egypt. Yes, I know. It's not always wrong to go to Egypt. Remember Jacob. Remember Israel. He took his family to Egypt. Joseph and Mary, yes, they took Jesus to Egypt. The issue isn't Egypt itself. The issue is trusting Egypt rather than trusting the Lord. And this is a perennial temptation. This is a perennial temptation for God's people to put our trust in something or someone rather than the Lord. Remember God's people were enslaved in Egypt. God raises up Moses, and the people come out of Egypt, and they get into the wilderness, and they get into the desert, and things get tough, right? Life gets difficult. It gets messy. Where do the people want to go? They want to go back to Egypt. Let's just turn around and go back. And we see, as you read the Old Testament, Egypt in the Old Testament comes to represent a false promised land. Egypt in the Old Testament comes to represent a false promised land. It's the best that man has to offer. It's where all of our problems are solved, where answers come quick. In the words of Eugene Peterson, it serves as a faith alternative. Rather than trusting the Lord, rather than waiting on Him, let's just go down to Egypt. And before I go any further in the sermon, I wonder, can I ask you, in the midst of all of the mess that 2020 has brought, where is your Egypt? Where is your false promised land? Where do you look outside of the sovereign control of the Lord? Where do you look for comfort, for hope outside the Lord? That's what Egypt represents. That's what Egypt is about. Where are you tempted to flee for easy answers, for quick solutions? And the fact of the matter is, I hide in all sorts of places. We escape in many different directions. We look for comfort. We look for security. We look for hope and many things outside the Lord. That's what Egypt is about. And Isaiah's message for this people, for us as well, is this: where you turn in times of crisis matters. Do you agree with that? Where you turn in times of crisis, in times of heartache, in times of trouble, it matters. And maybe you say, well, that's pretty self-evident, Pastor. I'm not so sure it is. I'm not so sure it is. You've heard that proverb from the old English poet, all is fair, can you finish it with me? In love and war. All is fair in love and war. What's that mean? What's that mean? It means in extraordinary situations, right? Like if you're in love or if you're at war, the ordinary rules which govern your life go out the window. So if you're in love, do whatever you need to do. If you're at war, do whatever you need to do. In ordinary circumstances, you should be kind and polite to everyone. You should show a special respect to women and children, unless you're on the Titanic and it's sinking, in which case, hey, it's every man for himself. Why? because all is fair in love and war. Ordinarily, we should be generous to others, freely giving to those in need. Unless you hear a rumor that the store's about to run out of toilet paper. In which case, run out as quickly as you can. Get a decade's worth of toilet paper for yourself. Why? Because all is fair in love and war, right? You hear this all the time. But Jesus speaks a better word to us. Isaiah speaks a better word to us. Where we go in times of crisis matters. The rule of faith, which is to govern our lives, is not thrown out the window because times became difficult. And the sermon this morning, I want to ask why. Why is it that we are tempted to go to Egypt? And I want to suggest to you three reasons that resonate with me, three reasons as I process 2020 that makes me want to turn to help outside the Lord. So let's get started. Number one, what's one reason we feel tempted to run to Egypt rather than wait on the Lord? We feel responsible to make something happen. We feel responsible to make something happen. All right, we need answers. We need them now. Look at the passage here. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. That seems like a good idea. Who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they're very strong. We want answers. We feel responsible to make something happen. The road to Egypt is a well-worn road. You know, the more you go down to Egypt, the easier it is to get there. There are many people who flock to Egypt, and we do that because we feel responsible to make something happen. It's hard to wait. One of the spiritual lessons I've learned this year is this, that there's a difference between being responsible for something and being responsible to something. Right? Do you understand the difference? Being responsible for something versus being responsible to something. If I'm responsible for something, that means it's on me. I've got to make it happen. I'm responsible for the results versus being responsible to something. I need to do my part, but I can't control the outcome. And there are different areas of our life where maybe we are responsible for versus being responsible to. The best example I could think of is in parenting, right? Don't you parent a two-year-old a little different than you parent a 22-year-old? As I look out at some of the young children who are here, I remember when my kids were young. When your children are very young, you are responsible for them, right? I remember being at Walmart once when our oldest was, maybe about 2 years old, and I got distracted looking at something, and I turned around, and he was gone. We went running through the aisles of Walmart looking for him, and found him. Oh, I felt awful. I felt awful. Why? Because I'm responsible for him. There's a responsibility that I have. If I don't watch him, he will get lost. We are responsible for our young children. But I don't have that same sense of panic when we go to Walmart now that my children are older. You parent your kids differently as they get older. You have a responsibility to them, not necessarily a responsibility for them. And I think this line gets fuzzy. It got fuzzy for me this year in particular. In times of trouble, we want solutions. We want them now. We think that we are responsible for it, and we're willing to do whatever works. That's what the people did. Hey, let's go to Egypt. Look at all their horses. Look at their chariots. Look at their horsemen. I think God's people were saying something like, hey, the nation of Israel must stand. If we have to lie, cheat, and steal in Egypt, so be it, because all is fair in love and war. We feel responsible to make something happen. That's why we go to Egypt. I wonder, does that resonate with you? Is that true for you? It's difficult, isn't it, to surrender to our sovereign King, the one who loves us and cares for us and will provide for us because we feel responsible to make something happen. So that's number one. Number two, we go to Egypt because walking by faith can get messy. walking by faith can sometimes be messy. This has been a theme at Christmas time here, reminding ourselves that life is messy, that Christmas is messy. I said this at our outdoor service last week, that we get that the idea of Jesus' death being messy, but do you realize his birth was messy? Mary's pregnant. Joseph's not the father. That's messy. That's messy. What's Joseph to do? Where is he going to flee for help? How do you deal with that? The time came for Jesus to be born. He was born into a manger, a feeding trough. It smelled. It was gross. It was messy, right? Christmas is messy. Our lives are messy. This pandemic, 2020, has been messy. And I think in the midst of that mess, we want clarity, don't we? We want certainty. We want things to be black and white. And I'll tell you what, praise God that there are so many things about our faith that are certain, that are clear, that are black and white. Jesus is God. He is seated on the throne. The Bible is his word. The Holy Spirit is real. But there's a lot about our faith that is not black and white. It is not certain. This is why the Bible calls us to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust the Lord. Very often, the light that he provides is the light that I need to take my next step. I want light for the entire path. I don't want to exist in this mess, and it can feel messy to wait on the Lord. We want clarity. We want certainty. I'm convinced that very often it is God's will for you to inhabit a space that is complicated, that is complex, where there are no easy answers. What exactly was Israel supposed to do in this situation? You think there are a lot of voices, a lot of solutions being thrown out? Hey, maybe going to Egypt is the life raft that God has provided for us. Jacob went there. Hey, maybe we should raise a military. Let's go and fight. Maybe we should make a treaty with our enemies and settle. This is the issue. Rather than trust the Lord, they flee to Egypt. They don't consult the Lord. You see, that's the crux of the issue. It isn't that they went to Egypt. The issue is they didn't look to the Lord first. They didn't trust him. Look at the end of verse 1 with me. You go to Egypt. You trust in those chariots. You trust in those horsemen. But you don't look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. They want easy answers. They don't want the mess. Egypt is the easy answer, and they're condemned not because they went to Egypt, but because they didn't consult with the Lord. They didn't wait. They didn't look to him. So why do we go to Egypt? Because we can't handle the mess. We can't handle the mess. So we go to Egypt because we feel responsible to make something happen. That's the idol of self-reliance. We go to Egypt because walking by faith can be messy. It's the idol of certainty. And lastly, I'm going to suggest to you we go to Egypt because we'd rather settle for that which is quick rather than that which is best. This is the issue of impatience. And Isaiah tells them how it's all going to work out there in verse 3. He says the Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble. Egypt will stumble, and he who is helped, that's Israel, will fall, and they will all perish together. We want quick answers. We want immediate answers. Let's go to Egypt. It's like the person caught in a thunderstorm who seeks shelter under the largest tree they can find, because at the moment it feels secure, it feels good, but they don't realize that that tree is serving as nothing more than a large lightning rod. Right? We seek quick answers. We're impatient, aren't we? Well, I don't know about you. I can speak to myself. I'm impatient. I want an answer. I want it now. We choose what's quick over that which will last. We want what we can have now over that which will endure forever. We want comfort in the moment over what will endure forever. I'll take whatever will solve my problem right now in this moment. Give it to me. I think faith, one of the things that that I've learned in 2020 is faith does not mean immediate action. Faith doesn't always mean immediate action, or at least the action we expect. Sometimes God just calls us to stay where we are, to wait, to pray, to not settle for the quick and the easy answers. So again, let me ask you, where is your Egypt? Where in 2020, as you reflect over the past 12 months, where outside of the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ have you been tempted to turn for help? Where we go with that heartache, where we go in times of trouble matters very much. God's word for us, at least God's word for me, is this: don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. We're called to walk by faith. Why? Because our King has come. Our sovereign Lord has come. He will provide for us. There's a promise we need to cling to tightly in 2021. He will provide for his people. He will care for us. He is the Lord of all creation, and he is our King. Do you look to Jesus in that way? Is he in the center of your life in that way? All the way in the middle, putting all of your trust and all of your faith in him, saying, why do I need to go to Egypt? I have the Lord, and I'll go wherever he sends me to go. Remember, Isaiah told the people here that the king was coming. Isaiah 9, we read part of it in the beginning of the service. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. He says, for to us a child is born. You have to wonder, did God's people feel just a little silly? Don't go to Egypt. Don't hide there. Why? I'm waiting for a baby to be born. I'm waiting for a child to come up. But of course, we know this wasn't any child. We'll begin the service with this. I'm going to end with it as well. This isn't just any baby. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government of all creation will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The king is coming. The king is here. We have a sovereign Lord who loves us, who cares for us, who will provide for us. He is at the center of all creation. The question is he at the center of our lives? Is he all the way at the center? Or are we running to Egypt? Don't run to Egypt. Don't run to Egypt. Look to your King. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, what a weighty word. What a sharp word to not run to Egypt. Lord, I know the weakness of my own flesh. Perhaps we are led to question this morning what it means to have you at the absolute center of our life. That if you are the center of all creation, what's it mean for you to be the center, the rock on which our life is built, our sure and firm foundation? We can sing it, Lord, and we confess it with our mouth, but is it true? And God, I pray that you would make that true, that you would be at the center of our existence as the local body of Christ here, and that individually, as families, Lord, that you would be at the center, and we would look to you. Would you forgive me for the ways that I have fled to Egypt and worked in my own strength and looked for easy answers for all sorts of wrong reasons, but we thank you that there is grace, that there is forgiveness in you. Jesus, would you be the center? Jesus, would you be at the core of who we are and what we are about? Would you do that work through your Holy Spirit? We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. We'd ask you to stand one more time and welcome in 2021 with a song, All Glory Be to Christ.
Should nothing